We get the privilege of participating in one of the most significant practices that we as a church take time to get involved in. We get to be part of something that is one of the commanded ordinances that Jesus laid out for us as a church to be participating in until his return. And that is the ordinance of baptism. It is the practice by which somebody steps into a pool of water, if you will. There's different ways to do it. That's just the way we choose. And demonstrate and display a reality to you guys as the church about something that is occurring in their life. And in order to fully grasp the reality of the significance of baptism, I think it is important for us to understand that baptism played a critical part in the life of the Jewish believer, the Jewish follower of God, before Jesus ever commanded us as the church to start participating in baptism. And when we understand the role that it played for the Jewish people, then we can understand why it would have been a no-brainer for Jesus to say, once you know me, you should be baptized. And this command wouldn't have been a discussion for the disciples to kind of go, why would we do that? It just seemed like that's what we do. Oh, that makes sense. In the life of the Jewish person, before Jesus commanded the church to be baptized, baptism pretty much played this role. If you went about your life and you found yourself in the awkward position where you either accidentally walked into something unclean or intentionally stepped into sin in some way, breaking the law, and by definition, therefore, breaking relationship with the community of God and with the Spirit of God, what you would do is there would be a certain set of righteous requirements that you would affect. Maybe it was sacrifices, maybe it was certain actions, certain things you would do. And when you met those righteous requirements, you would have a witness that would witness you doing that. You would go back to the priest and you would step into baptism in front of the priest and oftentimes the community in order to declare to the community, I, though I was unclean, though I was separated from community and God, I get to step back in now because I have met the righteous requirements of the law. And I am right again with God and with community. What changed dramatically when Jesus came onto the scene was that Jesus demonstrated that he was here to fulfill the story God was unfolding over time. And he was here to become our righteousness in the ultimate sense. In other words, once for all. Not a regular lifelong journey of living under the weight and burden of the law, constantly wondering, am I getting it right? But instead, Jesus becomes righteousness so that we now know we are right with God, not because of a set of actions we affect in our lives, but because of a relationship we have with the one that became our sacrifice. He fulfills the sacrifice. He fulfills the righteous element both together. He becomes our sacrifice and our righteousness, making sure that in him we are completely right with God forever and ever. And so now, when you receive Jesus as Savior by faith, in other words, saying, I recognize who Jesus is, I recognize what he did, and I recognize its impact on my life, that he, in essence, becomes my righteousness, in that moment, all the righteous requirements of the law are met in you and I when we know Jesus. So what would be the obvious next step if you were a Jewish person? You would go, well, I should come before the community of God, and I should say, just so you all know, the righteous requirements of the law are fully met in me, so now I can engage in biblical community with you in journeying toward maturity, in this case, Christ-likeness. It is an invitation into community, an invitation into journey, an invitation into the pursuit of Jesus. And it is a declaration that I know Jesus. So that's what you're about to observe. That's what you're about to hear, is people getting before you to say, at some point in the recent or distant past, I came to know Jesus. And therefore, all the righteous requirements that I need to be right with God are met in me. Not because of anything I did, but because of what Jesus has done in me. And we get a tremendous benefit out of baptism. We get to watch as we see once again on a regular basis that indeed God is at work around us. He is affecting righteousness and affecting redemption and changing lives. And we get to watch it happen through the stories we get to hear tonight. We get to experience God's work through these stories. And the beauty of that is it inspires us to remember that as we're called onto mission, that that mission has impact. Because what you're going to experience tonight is the beautiful dance between God's sovereign pursuit of his people and your incredible invitation by God into being part of that by being ministers of reconciliation, carriers of the gospel. So in a nutshell, here's what we get to experience tonight. God is at work around us. He is at work through us, and he is at work despite us, and it's awesome to see. And we get to be part of it, and it's awesome. And then finally, we are called into community with these people, reminded that we have been called into community with one another to live life together in biblical community as part of the beautiful pursuit of Jesus and living our lives on mission. Does that sound like fun to you? Sounds like fun to me. So with no further ado, we have chosen out of the 24 or so people getting baptized this weekend, we've chosen six stories actually for you to listen into. There are others, and we just didn't have time to put them all forward, so we picked these, but you can see some of the others later on as they unfold on our website and other places. But these six are going to demonstrate to you a taste of what the other 20 people are experiencing in this journey. The first story that you're going to hear demonstrates how God sovereignly works in the complexities of our lives over a lifelong journey with huge spans of time in between moments where God is touching someone's heart. And in fact, in some ways, you're going to get to see how even baptism played a role in the story in bringing this woman to a place where she went, yes, I've got to engage in living my life following Jesus. Take a listen to this.
Hi, I'm Debbie Sapper. I grew up in a Catholic church, and I grew up very Christian. My family was not just Sunday Catholics, they believed, and I grew up with a firm belief in God. But when my dad died when I was 13, I grew very angry, as kids will, and I turned away over a period of years. I always knew God was there, but I turned away, and it wasn't until my daughter was in middle school and she started going to a youth group. And when she was 16, she decided she wanted to be baptized. And through her journey, I was pulled along and found myself coming back to Jesus and understanding all that he had done for me. And I decided along the way, after my daughter was baptized, that, you know, I was baptized as a baby, but I wanted to go ahead and be baptized as an adult, as somebody who's aware of what this means, of what Jesus has done for me, and all that he's done in my life, all the blessings he's given me, and the fact that he is my Savior and my salvation. And I've had that feeling for a number of years, but one thing or another, it didn't happen. And then recently, when I saw the other baptisms and a friend of mine was baptized who's very close to me, I kind of felt the call very strongly. And when they announced they were doing more baptisms, I decided that this is something I needed to do. In the meantime, our house has been up for sale. We were looking to move from here down to Fort Lauderdale to be close to my children. My daughter moved down there. My son's down there. I have a grandson down there. And so we have our house up for sale, and should I go ahead and go with the baptism, or should I, you know, is this the wrong time? And I just went ahead and signed up, not knowing what was going to happen. Well, shortly thereafter, between the time I signed up and the time I started finding out details, our house was indeed sold. And I decided I was going to go ahead. I didn't know when the closing date was going to be. I didn't know if it was going to be before the baptisms or what was going to happen. But I just heard God kept saying to me, you know, keep moving, keep going forward. And now, closing, we don't have a date yet, but it's not going to be until sometime in October. And all along, I find myself learning to take my faith I have in God and the fact that he sent Jesus to be my Savior, and taking that faith and turning it into trust, and taking all the things I feel uncertain about and worry about, and I don't know what I'm going to do, I don't know what, I don't have a job, you know, how can I make this move, and just trusting that God is going to provide the way he's provided all along, the way he's moved me through this whole process, the way he took a little girl who was mad at him and pouting like a child for years and years, and through my daughter brought me back into his arms. And so this is my way of declaring to my community, my church, that I believe in Jesus, my Savior, and that God is there for me. And it's just means so much to me to be able to do this and to move forward feeling kind of a confidence behind me that although I have all these uncertainties about what's going to happen, that God is going to continue to be there for me. And it's with a thankful heart and a joyous heart and a heart that looks forward to the future that I want to be baptized.
We get to see in that story the complexities of God's pursuit of a human heart over years and years and years, through the ups and downs of a child and then an adult and then a daughter and then baptisms and then everything. And you just kind of get to sit back and go, all those years, you were just at work. It's so cool. And so many different people we utilized in the process. And then simultaneously, we get these stories that are so simple, just so instant, so crazy cool in their simplicity that you just go, you're kidding me. And simultaneously seeing the power that baptism has on the body of Christ, on the church, when we get to observe and participate in watching others get baptized. Look at this story in its purity and simplicity. Take a look.
Hi, I'm Nate Stanley.
One time I was in bed at night and I felt like God was coming to my heart, and it was the day after we came to church and did the watch the people getting baptized, and I thought I felt like God came into my heart too, and so I wrote Mom a letter and put it in her bed, and she was gone that night. So in the morning she looked at it and she talked with me for a little bit, but she didn't want to talk to me a lot because Dad wasn't home, and so at night we talked about it as a family, me and Dad. I want to be baptized because, number one, because God told us to. And I want to show people that I believe in Jesus and that I'm going to, whoever's believing in Jesus, I'm going to be with them.
That's right. Awe is right. I love it. I mean, don't you love that? I was watching baptisms and Jesus came in my heart and I told my mom. You know, I love that story. And that is years of work by a set of parents pouring into their child that just culminates in a moment that God just does what he does when he does it. And it's just awesome to see him work through us and despite us and outside of us simultaneously. We recognize as we travel through the stories of baptism, one of the things you will see being weaved into everything is that there's the sense that these people are stepping out in faith before you to ask you to step into their lives because they recognize the incredible, critical nature of being involved in community. This next story demonstrates what it looks like when we travel through life in the typical surface church level, showing up on a weekend, popping back out, going on a summer camp here and there, and the difference between that life and the one where we are deeply engaged in each other's lives, fulfilling the biblical call into community, into wrestling with one another through the things of God. This is going to be a story that invites you and I and calls you and I back into that intimate biblical community that spurs us on toward living on mission for Jesus. That's what baptism is about. That's why Jesus made it so critical to us, because it invites us into each other's lives, into each other's spiritual journeys. Take a look at this story.
Hi, I'm Taylor Allen.
I grew up in a loving family that attended church every Sunday and sung in the choir and was involved in all things church, but didn't understand the gospel and didn't know Jesus as more than a historical figure until I attended a Christian sports camp in seventh grade. Through that, I saw my sin for what it was and the lostness of my heart and the freedom and the life that Christ offered and the redemption that he offered through his death and resurrection. And so that was something that I freely accepted and saw my life transformed through that. Yet it was somewhat tempered by the fact that when I came home from that camp experience, I didn't have anyone in my life to help me understand what living a Christian life meant or looked like on a daily basis. I didn't have anyone discipling me, and I didn't have anyone teaching me truth. I didn't have anyone teaching me doctrine and understanding the fullness of who God was or how to even journey through that. And so basically I was left with kind of an up and down experience from summer to school year, where I grew and then basically was left to somewhat flounder for the year until I went back to camp and got another boost and got more truth and got more education on who Jesus is and what it looks like to be a believer and follow him. And so that cycle continued throughout high school until I entered college. I was surrounded by several godly men that walked through life with me and helped me understand what being a follower of Jesus looked like, and was able to learn from them, and then at the same time was able to have my mind exposed to truth of who God is and just the theology and doctrine behind the vastness of God. And so it was a really exciting time for me just to be exploring areas of God that I hadn't really gotten into before, and it was very encouraging to me. And one of the topics that was able to come out through those people and through those conversations was baptism. And just the idea that I had been baptized as an infant, and so I had kind of checked that box off in my mind that I didn't need to be re-baptized, knowing that my salvation and my baptism were not dependent on one another, and that baptism was just simply an outward expression of an inward reality. And so it wasn't something that was necessary, but kind of the thought of, would maybe be something that would be interesting to do and pursue if the time is right in the future, and if there's a church and if there's a group of people that are right, then maybe I'll pursue that. And so I went through college and really never found a church that I wanted to plug into and call home, and didn't really have baptism on the forefront of my mind. And so I finished my college career without getting baptized. And then towards the very end, after I graduated, I had a chance to take a trip to Israel with a group. And I was really excited about going to Israel and walking where Jesus walked and seeing all the things that are mentioned in Scripture. And thought, what better place to be baptized than where Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River. And so I had a lot of anticipation for that, and I think a lot of my desire for baptism there was simply just the circumstances that surrounded the baptism. That what better story to tell about your baptism than where Jesus was baptized? And so I had that plan and saw that trip actually get canceled due to some security issues and safety issues, and so I was not able to go on that trip, and that kind of left me again in the same spot of baptism not really being on the forefront of my mind and not really being something that I was urgent and seeking out. After that, I came to Orlando, was brought in as the director of a student ministry that disciples students and partners with local churches, and through that, had just tons of opportunities to minister to students and to encourage them and to teach and equip them, which was great. And at the same time, I began looking for churches as I was new to the area to where I would find a home, and found Mosaic, and really was encouraged by the teaching and the community and just the family here. And so I began to get more involved and check it out more, and kind of landed here as my church. And then while coming, I experienced the baptisms here and kind of again that tap on my heart about, well, where are you at with baptism, with not having actually been baptized once you have professed following Christ? And so I had that thought and I had that kind of conviction in my heart, and I quickly wanted to push it away, because here I was leading a ministry. I was the spiritual leader, and what would people think? What would kids think? What would parents think? What would my board members think if I were to be baptized? And so many people associate baptism with becoming a believer. Would that hurt my credibility? Would that hurt a ministry's credibility? And just all of those fears and things that just said, no, it's not worth it. I can't you know, compromise those things. And so I kind of ran from it. And again, that, you know, that question surfaced. And I think it wasn't until somewhat recently where I really was honest before the Lord and with myself about this is an act of obedience that God has called me to, and God desires this act of obedience as a display of what he's done in me and as a display to this community to get to celebrate and get to be just surrounded by people as I get to say I'm declared righteous through Jesus, and that's a truth that hasn't changed at all in the last 15 years. But at the same time, it's one that I really am excited about getting a chance to again just freely follow God's call in that area. And so I'm really looking forward to getting to be baptized.
One of the things that I'm, absolutely, that's Taylor. One of the things I'm so excited about as I listen to that story and the other stories unfolding here is that it moves us past ceremony and past formality, doesn't it? So often these kinds of things done in churches can be a formality or a ceremony. They come and they go, we get them done. But we desire so deeply here at Mosaic Church that the ordinance of baptism here becomes more like an invitation, perhaps even a collision of lives, you know? Where it's like, you don't get the choice but to integrate into these lives, get to hear their stories and get to tell yours to them, because this needs to be something like Taylor so deeply desires and has communicated, that is one person sharing their spiritual journey with their family, the church, and saying, you're in me now and I'm in you, and together we are journeying after Jesus. And that is exactly what we want to see unfold. Now what you're going to see is, as we progress into the stories now, you're going to see a shift begin to happen from this reality within the body of Christ and this invitation into each other's lives and this call into being involved with one another and the beauty of God working through the walls of this place, through the baptisms, through the conversations. We're now going to see how beautifully and simplistically God works through anything and anyone, anywhere, to do what he needs to do. We're almost left out of the next few stories in some ways, because it's like, watch what God does out there. And this is what I want you to pay attention to as you listen to these stories. You live out there, don't you? You don't live in here. And so on every day, in every moment, whether you're a teacher or you're an accountant or you're a plumber or you're a painter or you're a doctor or you're, frankly, whatever you do, it doesn't make any difference. As you go about your business, know that God is constantly around you at work and inviting you into that work. And a single thing you can say, a single thing you can do could dramatically impact the trajectory of somebody's life. Though God, in his sovereignty, will affect what he needs to, you are invited to be a massive part of that. And you don't want to miss out on that. Listen to this next story and watch what an impact a person can have by just asking a single important question. Watch.
Hi, I'm Davey Wimberly. When I was in kindergarten, my teacher asked us, did you ask Jesus into your heart? And I said no. And at Carline, she asked my mom, did Davey ask Jesus into her heart? And she said no. And then in the car on the way home, my mom asked, do you want to pray and ask Jesus into your heart? And I said yes. I want to get baptized because Jesus did it, and Jesus also commanded it, and I want to obey him.
I have actually memorized Davey's video. That's no joke. I have quoted it several times because it is so beautiful to me that in all of the complexity that we think carrying the gospel is, in all the books we've read about how you present it in 9 different ways, and knowing the Romans Road and the 4 spiritual laws and everything else, in all the fears we carry around, that if we should engage in conversation that might be spiritual, we might somehow derail the plans of God and destroy somebody's life by not being able to answer all the important questions only C.S. Lewis himself would know. Sometimes, by simply saying, have you received Jesus as your Savior? Do you know him? Causes someone to go, no. And you go, would you like to? Yes. Awesome. I mean, sometimes it's just that simple. And we need to remember that the invitation we have into the lives of people is not one that God cannot carry and cannot handle. We cannot derail somebody's life. We are invited to be ministers of reconciliation, meaning that in any given moment, if we just simply follow the lead of living on mission, engaging in people's stories and trusting the Spirit of God to work through us as we literally begin to allow the Word of God to dwell richly in us, that we will be part of stories like that. For the rest of Davy's life, there is a teacher who asked a question, and it changed everything. And that is awesome. Now, you're going to hear another story, and in this story, you're going to see a number of people involved in doing little things that are just extraordinary. In fact, one of the people in this story doing that, I don't know who they are. I have no idea whether they even know Jesus or not. It is the fact that God utilizes so many pieces of a puzzle, and you watch in this story the beautiful dance between the people that engage on mission and the God of sovereignty at work through anyone, anywhere, drawing somebody to himself. Watch this complex story with the same basic idea. If you just engage in a life and don't just let people go, you are invited into significant life change. Listen.
Hi, my name is Dimitri Gary. At the age of 16, I started struggling with depression and really just trying to get a grasp on being unhappy with myself and my weight. And I started not eating, which slid into like a self-destructive phase, cutting, and it really all stemmed back from having sort of a violent childhood. There was about 6 years of time where it just was watching the people that I love be abused and having a feeling of not being able to do anything about it. So as I fell into depression and the self-destruction, I slowly started to walk into drug usage. I used from about the time that I was 18 up until the time that I was 22. I got in an accident at work, which led me to having to take a drug test. Needless to say, it came back positive. And at that point, my manager pulled me aside and offered to let me do rehab so I could keep my job. At the time, I just did it because I really needed to keep my job. I didn't realize that doing the rehab pretty much saved my life. From there, I decided to go to school, where I met some beautiful people, particularly Priscilla. She'd asked me a few times to come to church with her, and I was hesitant because I was really just mad about everything that had happened in the past, and I didn't understand why it happened to me or why my family. So I finally gave in. I would go once every month, maybe every other week. And then Renaud shared a message. It was the service where we wrote on the leaves. And I guess just seeing all the different roles that Jesus played for us, you know, Savior, Preserver, and that's really what stuck out to me, and my heart just opened, and since then, I don't think that I've willingly missed a Sunday morning. And I want to be baptized so that I can show to Jesus that I'm ready to follow the path that he's laid before me, that my life is his, and it's for him to do with what he wants. I'm ready to walk the road, whether it's helping here in the community or out on mission or just working at Oxum. I'm just ready for whatever comes next.
Don't you just love that? I mean, you're working at Burger King as a manager and you make a single decision to believe in someone instead of just letting them go. And that decision leads to a ripple effect that leads them to go to school, that leads them to meet Priscilla, who goes here, who leads Priscilla to just engage in asking, even though it doesn't make sense. And then coming here just long enough to experience what God is doing, and then just, and you just see it unravel, don't you? Just these random moments that are not random at all. That's exactly what God is unfolding, and you see the beautiful dance between God's sovereign pursuit and our invitation to be part of the story. This last story we're going to watch tonight is a story we started a few weeks ago of a couple who had started derailing in their life despite the fact that they were trying to live on mission. And the very mission they were trying to sustain out there was the mission that was killing them inside. And they found themselves in a dark place. And what you're going to see in this story is now the full culmination of it all. When we live on mission inside the walls and outside the walls simultaneously, we impact the lives of people. Those who are following Jesus, those who are struggling with Jesus, and those who don't even know Jesus yet. And we get to be part of all of it. In this story, you won't only experience the redemptive reality of God's sovereign work in their lives, but you're going to see little pieces of the puzzle come together to bring about the beauty of the gospel, the act of redemption. Not just redemption for eternity, but redeeming the story of somebody's life. Take a look at this story.
Hi, I'm Sean.
And I'm Lauren.
And we're the Blackburns.
We eventually got married at 19 in pursuit of foreign missions as our full-time goal overseas. And 6 months after we were married, we were halfway across the world. And that's kind of where we started our journey.
Yeah, as a married couple, we were really young and in some hostile places in the world, and I started to really doubt if God had really called us to that, and or at least for me, I had really doubted it for myself. And I just remember thinking, you know, Lord, is this what you have for me? And I just kept coming up blank, and I didn't know what it was that he had for me, and I felt extremely scared to even share that with Lauren. But that was about halfway through our trip, and we had a pretty long trip over there, and it was pretty rough.
Yeah, we both came back and both pursued our education at UCF, so we became full-time students, full-time employees, so 40-hour work weeks, coming home at night, writing papers. It just kind of, we didn't have time for friends, we didn't have time to look for a church, we didn't have time for each other. The enemy really used isolation and things that looked very successful in the world to pull us further and further away from the plan he had for us.
So that was for about 2 years that we lived that way. And it progressively got worse and worse. And then in December of 2011, we kind of hit a crisis point in our marriage, and some things came to light, and there were some real questions as to whether we were going to make it as a couple. And that was incredibly scary for me. And, you know, deep depression and shame of the idea of being 22 years old and divorced just hung over me like a huge cloud. And so we kind of started this process of just grieving. But for a while there, it looked really, really dark.
One of the nights where everything just had totally bottomed out, actually ended up leaving home one night, and I had no place to go because we literally had we had family in the area, but we didn't have community or safe people to go to, and so I found myself in a hotel that night by myself, and that was probably the lowest point of my entire life.
And that night that she was driving, I started to chase the car that she was driving away in, and just started walking for hours. And that was a really, really tough night. I just sat underneath this sign for hours, just thinking that I had kind of ruined it, a lot of things. And it's cool to see how God just rushed back in and picked us back up. And you hear the story of the 99 and the one sheep that he goes back after. And I always saw myself as one of the 99 for a long time. But that night I definitely felt like the one that he came back after. And it was really beautiful. And he sent me a police officer that night that talked with me for a little bit and just encouraged me that it would be okay. I didn't even really believe him, but it helped. And so we started this process of recovery after that night. And we decided that we wanted to get back involved in a church and get into community and just really see what God had for us and kind of try this again and just let him be the complete author of our story. So,
I mean, God came flooding into our lives with everyone from the counselors to recovery to friends that flew in from out of state and family members who came to us. And it's just really incredible to see that when you get to that bottom out point, what God will do if you submit to him and come back to him. And like you said, we decided we're going to look for a church, and it sounds crazy to even say this. We laughed about this the other day, that in the midst of all this, we were trying to run our first half marathon. And so we had our last long run to do, and so we decided to run from Claremont to Winter Garden, which obviously puts us on the trail that runs right past Mosaic. And I still don't know what I was doing trying to run that, because I was just emotionally depleted. We had been through the ringer, and I really just didn't feel like I could finish this race that I was on that day. And when I came around the corner, there's a little boy holding a sign that said free food up ahead. And the cynic in me at first thought, oh, it's that church up ahead trying to get the heathens off of the trail into church. And so I wanted nothing to do with it. I kind of put my hand to it. But when I came further around the corner, I saw a table just full of smiling people and warm faces and strawberries and bananas and Gatorade and water. And I was still skeptical, but I walked up and they just handed me a banana, and there was no track to go with it, which was surprising to me from my background. There was no, why are you on the track, or, you know, oh, hey, we're from Mosaic. They didn't have to say a word. And I finished that race that day. And as tiring as it was, God really spoke through that physical nourishing that, you know, he spoke to me, Lauren, like, you need spiritual nourishing, and this is the church that'll do it. And he really used that symbol to show me that we needed to be at Mosaic.
Early on, I shouldn't say early on, a couple months after that crisis point, I really felt like God was telling me to read the story of Exodus for some reason. And I didn't really know why or understand why at all. But I started to read just the story of redemption for the Israelites, and how through the waters of the Red Sea, the enemy of the world was just vanquished at that moment, and they lived in freedom. And so I feel like in community, and also through prayer and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we've seen true transformation of our marriage that wouldn't have been possible without God's help. And so with that, we just approach baptism, you know, and it's a brand new start for us.
So, the question that lingers for all of us as we step into baptisms now is, which one are you? Are you the police officer sitting on the side of the road just having a talk with a kid and being that moment of something special? Are you the person flying in from out of state to help them in their marriage? Are you the kid on the trail with the banana? Or are you the community in the church that they engage in? Which part are you? See, we get to play all of these different parts if we just live on mission and remember that we are called into this community. We are called into these stories. And so now, as we introduce to you via video just the faces of a number of the people being baptized, I don't think all of them are on the video, but a number of them are, because you won't be here tomorrow to see all the others. I want you to watch these faces. I want you to see the names, and I want you to ask the Spirit of God, if you know Jesus and you're part of this church and call this home, God, show me who to pray for, who to engage in, who to meet, who to hug in the lobby, who to say, I want in. Because if this baptism passes us by as a formality or simply as another ceremony we go through, then its entire purpose is lost to us. But if it becomes another moment where we are deeply invited into biblical community and inspired onto biblical mission out there, then it has accomplished its purpose, the purpose Jesus intended for us. For one person to declare their righteous requirements are met in Jesus, and for a community to declare, we're in with you and we're going to journey after him together. And that is the power of baptism. That is what we get to be part of this very night.